On this vote, the ayes are 232, the nays are 197. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
This is a special breaking news edition of the Mother Jones podcast. I'm Jamila King in Brooklyn. President Trump is the first president in U.S. history to be impeached twice.
He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we all love.
Today, a majority in the U.S. House of Representatives voted to impeach President Trump again, following last week's violent attack at the U.S. Capitol. 232 members voted for impeachment. 197 voted against. Next, the impeachment vote moves to the Senate. This is a special breaking news bonus episode about the most impeached president in U.S. history. Stick around. Mother Jones's D.C. Bureau Chief David Korn joins us for this breaking news extra today to recap the impeachment proceedings. David, welcome back to the show.
I was up at 4:30 this morning. I'm ready to go.
All right. So I've been watching the impeachment trial all day, and it is long, but certainly not as long as the last one. But it does kind of seem like the air is a little bit kind of taken out of the balloon a little bit. What's your take on how today's gone?
Well, everyone knew the result at the end of the day, right? Yeah, I guess the one question was how many Republicans were going to join the final vote count. And, you know, there are some, not many, maybe a dozen or so. There are some, and that makes this a bipartisan impeachment of Donald Trump the second time around. And I think there's still a lot of shock. This is happening within a wake of shock over the events that happened literally just a week ago, in which thousands of people stormed the Capitol, incited by Donald Trump and others who claimed the election had been stolen. And members, House members, are still, I think, coming to terms with that. I think there's been some trauma for some. We're every day we're learning more details that make the event sound even more frightening and dangerous than it seemed when it was happening. So, you know, there's a lot going on. At the same time, these are the dying days of the Trump presidency. And, you know, on the Republican side, there was just a lot of retread arguments. Donald Trump is the greatest president ever. Democrats hate him. And that's what this is all about.
The president who created soaring highs for our economy, rising wages before the pandemic, 400 miles of wall to stop the caravans, who drew down troops in the Middle East and showed empathy for the forgotten men and women of our country. It's why so many people love him so much, and it's why they're kicking all of us.
Over and over again. Well, Democrats made the case that he was a clear and present danger, basically on two counts. One is that he created the environment and gave the mob its reasons to attack the Capitol, bad reasons, but gave them the inspiration and egged them on at a rally before the actual raid on the Capitol, the murderous raid.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen.
But that also, and I thought they could have hammered this point a little harder. Actually, a couple of the Republicans who spoke out in favor of impeachment sort of zeroed in on this. He did nothing when the attack happened. We have news reports. They haven't been confirmed, you know, in any congressional hearing. We have news reports that he watched the attack with excitement and even with some degree of glee. And that would just make this even more awful than it is. But we do know that he did nothing. For an hour or so, he did nothing. And then he did a sort of half-hearted tweet. And then an hour or so later, he put out a video statement in which he said, stop, you know, withdraw from the Capitol. I love you. You're patriots. So people who were there murdering a Capitol Hill police officer and causing other deaths, and who were running around with nooses and looking to find Mike Pence and shouting, "Hang Pence," and wondering where the speaker's office is. And if you see the videos, full of violent rage, Donald Trump was saying, "We love you." But at the end of the day, it's pretty clear. We all watched this. We didn't observe. We didn't get to witness Donald Trump's phone call with the president of Ukraine that led to that impeachment. There was a memo that came out that recounted it. It wasn't a verbatim transcript, but we didn't get to hear it. But I think that so the Democrats had a pretty obvious case. Basically, do you believe your eyes and ears or not? And the Republicans basically said, we want you not to believe your eyes and your ears.
David, Donald Trump will go down in history as the only United States president to be impeached twice. What do you think that means for his legacy?
Whether he would have been impeached or not a second time, his legacy is that he incited a mob that was full of violence and maybe murderous intent to descend upon the U.S. Capitol and stop the U.S. government from doing its constitutional job. That's, I think, you with or without impeachment, that is number one on his legacy. Number two is the COVID pandemic, complete failure. I hate to say it, we're going to have over 400,000 people dead probably this month, and we could end up with more than 500,000 dead because of his failures. You know, that's number two. And then, the third is that he was impeached twice. He set a record. The guy who's always out there saying, I set records, I'm the biggest, I'm the best. Well, when it comes to the categories of impeached, he will now be the most impeached president ever. If he were alive right now, Richard Nixon would be happy, because it will put him down a notch on the list of most disgraced presidents.
So you're mentioning Richard Nixon. Obviously, a lot of comparisons have been made throughout Trump's presidency to Richard Nixon's presidency. What are the comparisons at this point? And do you think they hold up?
I mean, Richard Nixon created the EPA. Richard Nixon opened, relations with China. He was a psychopath in a certain way. But the tape that came out, the smoking gun tape that came out, showed him trying to cover up a dirty trick mounted by his presidential campaign that actually didn't matter much, didn't have any impact on the election. It just showed that he was kind of crooked. That's nothing, nothing compared to Donald Trump trying to force a foreign leader to phony up an investigation to excuse Russian interference in America and to help him beat Joe Biden. It's nothing compared to Trump leaning on local officials to try to throw the election his way after it's been certified. And of course, it's nothing compared to ginning up a violent mob that ended up killing people. In some ways, they're not even in the same category. What Donald Trump has done is to debase the office of the president far beyond Richard Nixon even could imagine doing in his day.
David, what's going on inside Mitch McConnell's head?
Oh, don't put me there.
It's not a great place to be, but you know what?
That's a terrible place to be.
I got to do it.
There are conflicting signals about his attitude towards when and when not to hold the trial. But now it seems that he's committed and has said, or his people have indicated to reporters, that it will not be immediate. It will be sometime after the inauguration. There was a flurry of news reporting that he actually wanted to do it in an emergency session right away. And also some reporting that, hey, he thinks maybe these are impeachable offenses and maybe this is a convenient way to get rid of Donald Trump. Now, the Republicans are not going to be able to fully get rid of Donald Trump. He has tens of millions of Americans who are going to stay with him. A high number of those people might still want to engage in violent activity. We've seen news reports, and you go online. I was doing this early today and looking at Trump supporters who are pledging violence on Facebook posts and elsewhere. So Trump is still going to be in charge of those people. More importantly, he's still going to be fundraising tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars a month for his political operation, swamping Republican efforts to raise money for their own races in the next election cycle. You know, unless he decides to self-exile himself to Scotland, although I don't think the Scots will have him to his golf course there. I mean, he still has a tremendous sway over the money and the bodies of the Republican Party. Mitch McConnell wants to try to separate the party or separate Donald Trump from the party. This is his opportunity. If he is in favor of conviction in the Senate, that would separate Trump from the party. But more importantly, it would allow for another vote, which only requires a majority of the Senate to basically ban Trump from holding office, meaning that he could not run again for the presidency, something that Trump has indicated an interest in doing in 2024. So, you know, the old saying is, don't strike the king unless you can kill the king. Trump still is the king of the Republican Party. And is Mitch McConnell, does he have, you know, enough guts, and does he think it would work for him to actually try to kill Trump in the sense that Trump cannot run for office again? If he wants to try to do that, then having a trial in which Trump is convicted is McConnell's path forward. But doing that does, of course, run the risk of causing a revolution or revolt, rebellion, and it could be violent amongst the Republican base that has become Trumpified and radicalized and weaponized, all with the blessing and the assent of Mitch McConnell and other Republican leaders.
At this point, what is the future of the Republican Party? It seems like the last week has sort of blown up the idea that, you know, it is only Trump's base. But what do you think there?
I think that's one of the big political stories of the next 2 years. It's hard to see how they go forward with Trump or without Trump. With Trump and Trumpism, I should say, a main part of the party, they will continue to have problems, you know, with former or current Republican moderates in suburban areas and such. And if they try to distance themselves, they will lose a lot of the base that loves Trump and sees the Republican Party more as a cult of personality, or they act as the Republican Party is more of a cult of personality with Trump at its center than a political party based on ideology, ideas, and principles. Do they stick with Trump? Do they double down on QAnon? Or do they separate from Trump and try to pick up, in a more moderate district? It's a very difficult calculation for them. You know, today we saw Kevin McCarthy try to thread the needle by saying Trump did something bad and he bears responsibility. I would vote to censure him, but I don't believe in impeachment.
A vote to impeach will further fan the flames of partisan division. That doesn't mean the president is free from fault. The president bears responsibility for Wednesday's attack on Congress by mob rioters.
You know, most of the people who spoke today, most Republicans who spoke today, did not take that line. Most of them did not call for censure. Most of them did not criticize Trump. Most of them criticized the Democrats for being partisan, impeachment-obsessed radical socialists. So McCarthy, trying to steer the party in what he might consider a more responsible direction, did not get a lot of support from the other speakers.
David, what happens now, and who are some of the people we should be watching?
Well, now that we know that impeachment has indeed passed in the House and 10 Republicans supported it, so I think this may be the first time we've had a real bipartisan impeachment, it's up to Nancy Pelosi to decide when to send the article of impeachment to the Senate for trial. Last time when we did this 13 months ago, she waited a couple of weeks for strategic purposes before sending it over. Obviously, Mitch McConnell can't move forward or decide, make a decision until he receives those articles. But then it's up to him to move ahead with the trial. And as we've discussed, I think it's pretty clear that if he decides to fight conviction or be opposed conviction, it probably won't happen. Trump will likely be out of office and not able to seek direct retribution against those who vote for conviction. But he'll still be out there finding a way, if not tweeting, but in other ways to encourage primary contests against them. But if Mitch McConnell decides that conviction is warranted, either, on the grounds for substantive reasons or for political reasons, then it'll be interesting to see what other Republicans move in his direction.
David, any last minute big picture thoughts?
For 5 years, we at Mother Jones and other places have been reporting on Donald Trump and his pathologies as an individual, his penchant for vengeance and for violence, and his disregard of norms and the rule of law, and also just basic decency, and have made the case that he was dangerous. He was dangerous for the nation. He was dangerous for our political culture. And that danger was not just political, but it could end up violent in some way or another. That he was an authoritarian, that there was a fascistic streak that he was playing to, and that he enjoyed playing to, that he wanted to be a strong man. I guess, in some ways you might say this was inevitable, although I'm not sure any of us could have guessed at the manifestation of it. But it was inevitable that the Trump presidency would end ugly and would end in a way that reveals his corruptions, his bigotry, his brutality, his cruelty. And unfortunately, it comes, and it's so damn sad, with the loss of life. But now, there's no hiding. There's no hiding what Donald Trump has done to this nation and what he could continue to do, even out of office, and that the dark forces of Trumpism need to be countered and addressed and covered probably for some time to come.
David Korn is Mother Jones's Washington, D.C. bureau chief. David, thanks as always for joining the show.
My pleasure.
That's it for this special edition, this special breaking news edition of the Mother Jones podcast. I'm your host, Jamila King. If you want to support the Mother Jones podcast, it's really easy to do. All you got to do is subscribe. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is brought to you by Mother Jones listeners like you who donate to keep our newsroom buzzing. Help us stay on the beat. Go to motherjones.com/give.
From PRX.